On Earth, every organism is different.
However, they are still similar because of one factor: the ability to consume food and turn it into energy.
From the smallest cell to the biggest whale, food is necessary for them to grow.
Over time, humans have woven the necessity into their culture and turned the power source into an edible art.
Since there are so many diverse cultures around the world, we figured there might be some foods that might be considered weird, maybe even obscure in the U.S.
Instead of running away from them, why not sit down and try them?
I'm Abbai.
And I'm Jesse.
Here to bring you on a food exploration of epic proportions through Radioactive, a podcast made by teens.
On our menu today, we have a nice appetizer of bubble tea analysis,
a savory entree of different ways people approach foreign food,
a filling meal consisting of the relationship between food and culture,
and a sweet dessert to close everything off.
Appetizer!
To really understand the idea of foreign food, we have to see what makes foreign food, like pho or gyros or even enchiladas, so popular.
Did you have any in mind?
Well, I know one thing that's been bubbling on the food scene for a while.
I know what you're talking about, and I just want to say that was an awful pun.
Well, I'm just gonna ignore that and introduce our listeners to bubble tea!
Ah, yes. The wonderful drink known by many names ranging from boba to milk tea to even pearl tea.
It's basically a drink that is a mix of tea and other shots or powders of flavor with a foam of bubbles at the top, hence bubble tea.
What really makes them special are the little pearls of tapioca that hang out on the bottom, called boba, that you drink through a really big straw.
However, bubble tea didn't really start splashing onto the scene until the early 2010s, and now has several shops dedicated to it, like Ambrosia, Oasis, and even has a prominent place in various Asian night markets.
After some research, we found out that it's a drink originated in Taichung, Taiwan.
Back in the 1980s, when a really bored business lady poured her tapioca dessert into her iced tea and screamed, "This is the best thing ever!" at the top of her lungs and...
Stop right there. You know that's not how it happened.
Oh, fine. There really was a business lady named Lin Shui Hui, who was the product development manager of Chun Shui Tang Tea House in Taiwan.
She also really did throw her dessert into her tea, and it tasted so good that they decided to add it to their menu.
From there, the drink bubbled to the top of everyone's mind and gained popularity in Japan, Korea, and China before hitting the United States.
We noticed that it's especially prominent in places that have a really high Asian demographic in the U.S., like Southern California or even various Chinatown districts in most states, leading us to believe that there's a specific reason it's so popular.
I don't know what it is about it, but it may have given these demographics a little familiar taste of home. It feels so intrinsically Asian that people started to flock to its sweet flavors, and its reputation as an affordable and delicious drink only grows.
I think the same can be said for plenty of other popular foreign foods. It gives people the sense of home here in the U.S.
But what about the people who didn't grow up with these flavors? The ones who call themselves bold for drinking this strange new drink swimming in terrifying black pearls? The ones who were scared to try something new? Was this just an adventure for them?
Entree!
People, especially in America, are usually scared to try new foods.
This can lead to a lot of foods being considered obscure, which means not well known, or even weird.
When you trace those obscure foods through, they can be wildly popular where they came from. We tried to see what weird foods people in Seattle have tried.
Oh, alligator's good, but that's good. Oh. Fried alligator's good.
Nettles? It's like a weed in the woods?
Pick springs. Steam and then yeah.
I've tried shark before.
I had fish guts before. It was pretty gross. They cook it in a bag. I eat monkey in India.
Horse sashimi.
Wait, those sound really weird.
I kind of want to try the pig brains.
I think I could pig out on those.
Would you really?
No. Maybe. I might.
We'll make it happen.
Okay, any other foods I should try?
There's this one dessert that isn't super well known outside of the Viet community called jia. It's basically like a cold, sweet soup filled with little bits of jelly and fruit, and it's perfect for summer. American people seem to think it looks really gross, but I love it.
I'm sure it tastes great, and if I ever get to try it, it'll be life-changing. That was funny and you know it. It was also funny to bring obscure foods like gefilte fish, camel, bonbo, sticky rice cake, lime pickle, and noodle kugel into the radioactive space and see what the radioactivians had to say about all these obscure foods.
Whoa, this smells really...
It smells weird?
It smells good.
Give it a shot.
I did, I ate some.
No, I mean, put the pickle on the gefilte fish.
That's weird.
No, it's really good.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll get some in a minute. I trust you. But if I cry, I'll eat it with you.
I've seen Anthony's pretty curious. I think I would eat it if I were...
Like, I can't imagine biting in and then feeling the texture of the bones, okay? Like, that to me is already like... Yeah.
I thought all the food tasted good.
I didn't like the fish.
Do you wanna?
I didn't eat the fish.
You wanna come in here?
So I can't dislike it.
Both the honeycomb cake and Patrick's rice cake, they were denser than I expected. Like I picked them up and I was like, whoa, these are heavy.
It was so much fun. And there was one point where one of our fellow radioactivians literally put every single dish into one bite.
Let's share that moment with our audience.
He took a big bite.
He really just put that whole thing in his mouth.
For it.
Intensive.
Those seem like pretty standard responses to some not-so-standard foods. I thought all the potluck food tasted great, although I'll eat pretty much anything.
And I personally don't care as long as it tastes good.
Which is why we decided to take the streets and get the opinions on how people try new foods.
I examined it a lot before I actually tried it, so kind of like worked myself up to it.
Student, ask any questions.
I snipped it first, a couple times, and then I licked it, a little dab on my tongue, tasted it, then I ate it.
Meal!
Wow, why are people so hesitant to try new foods?
I think the reasons people are afraid of food all narrows down to culture and food's significance in it.
For example, what American foods actually come from America? The foods popular in the U.S. taste great, but don't hold a lot of cultural significance like they do in other countries.
For some people, food can take on so much more meaning.
Food in my culture basically means a time that we get together, celebrate each other, celebrate life, basically, and love and fellowship.
My identity. In some places, it's their form of art. It's what they do. It's who they are.
I think that it just brings our family together. So, like, especially, like, anytime we could eat together, you know, it's bonding times.
Can't speak for these guys, but personally, I couldn't live without it.
Ha! I like that guy.
Me too. He's got the right idea.
Now, what about childhood foods? That should have some significance in what food means to people.
Here are some of the responses we got when we posed the question, what is a dish from your childhood?
It's pasta and macaroni. Any casserole that my mom made.
Pizza. Chef Boyardee.
Oh, man, that's the saddest of all.
Grits.
Rice cracker.
Pizza sandwiches. I love watermelons.
Oh, yeah, noodle kugel.
Now that we're on the topic of food, let's dig in to the different elements that make up the food culture. Every country has their own version of the typical meal, and the amount of significance it has varies, but there are some similarities between them all.
Like how different regions of the world have different staples in their food, like a base that's served in every dish, rice, injera, or even French fries.
Another factor could be the norms and etiquette during eating, since that also varies in different cultures. Like how finishing the food offered in meals are considered polite, or how eating only with your right hand is considered good.
Culture has such an impact on how people see food, almost as much as the food itself.
Dessert!
New foods are a really great way to learn about other cultures.
They give you a tasty meal on top of giving you insight into so many different stories and people that you might never have known about if you hadn't tried that so-called weird food.
So no matter how obscure something is,
or how weird it looks,
you just need to have an open mind about what's being given to you and respect it for what it is.
An opportunity. We hope you enjoyed this four-course exploration into food and its importance to us as humans. And make sure to tip your waiter.
Thank you to all our Vox Pop participants and fellow Radioactivians for participating in this podcast.
Also, special thanks to our executive producer, April Reyes.
Woo!
All right. And to our staff editor, Leela Katayev, as well as Mary Heisey, Jenny Asarno, and all the other podcast mentors.
Listen to more of our podcasts by subscribing on iTunes or go to kuow.org/radioactive. Keep checking in on our Facebook at facebook.com/radioactiveyouthmedia and on Twitter at kuowradioactive.
You can also find us on Instagram at kuowradioactive.
Signing off, this is Jesse Nguyen.
And Abay Stefanos from
Radioactive.